Everybody, welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ, joined by JB and Tommy. Guys, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. I'm to the point that I'm just ready for the game to come out. You know, we're not getting any more information, so just put the game in my hands and I can decipher it for myself.
Yeah, it's been pretty slow going since we had it kind of hot and heavy here for our long show here last time, and now we're like just hurrying up and wait.
You know, a couple weeks ago when we were asking if it's a Madden reskin or not, we should have asked, can EA promote Madden and College Football at the same time? That maybe it should have been the better question than their whole reskin issue. First off, we want to thank everybody for listening and watching. Make sure to share the show, leave a 5-star review, head over to thegamingtailgate.com and click on that EA Sports College Football 25 Information Central. If you ever get tired of waiting for news or info, I guarantee there's going to be an article, a blog, a podcast, a picture you haven't seen before, because everything we find, we're sharing it here. And there's a lot to go through. So if you ever get bored, like I said, head over here and that'll be a good way to spend some free time. I think the big question we're going to ask first is, when can we expect more info? And I'm going to be here right now and tell everybody, we have no idea. It's one of those that it looked like they're going every other week with information. And now with Madden news starting to drop, that might have shifted the pattern and shift how they do things. We thought last week was going to be an all Madden week. However, something happened. The trailer got pushed to this upcoming Tuesday, June 18th. We got the article and the cover reveal last week. Next, we will get the trailer. So who knows if we will get anything College Bowl related. Hopefully we do. First off, what could the future topics be that they talk about as it relates to EA Sports College Football? We have no guarantee that these will get blogs or videos or even any kind of discussion. But at the same time, I think these seem pretty definite or pretty likely. Presentation and Dynasty, the previous gameplay blog mentioned. We'll get blogs on those at some point. Road to Glory, Ultimate Team, the Road to the College Football Playoff mode, rating reveal, and also gameplay videos and capture event, which we assume they will have at some point. We don't know that for a guarantee. Guys, if you go by that, there's 7 different topics they can get into, and we have less than 30 days before the game is out. So realistically, we get something every 4 days. I don't think that's going to happen. So some of these are not going to get covered. Guys, what do you think we'll get to see at some point, and when possibly, with this weird Madden timeline now blending into college football?
To me, presentation's the low-hanging fruit. That one they've got to do, because, you know, you can actually show that very easily. You can, you know, talk about the new announcers. You can talk about the lighting and how it looks, the score bug looks in the game and things like that. So that you can show and easily, you know, get the point across to somebody. Dynasty, again, almost have to have that there. After that, the only other one, Road to Glory, yes, a lot of people are wanting that. Ultimate Team, nobody wants to hear, but, well, I'd say,
you know,
nobody, but yeah, we will. Mm-hmm. But to me, the probably the bigger one is the ratings reveals. You know, kind of the first opportunity to show some of those players in the game, show screenshots of them, show their ratings, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, top 10 at certain positions, just like they do for Madden. To me, that makes a lot of sense, but we'll see if they get there. But again, those are kind of the three that I say for sure. But timing wise, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Dynasty is almost a given, just because we've got to see how the transfer portal works in this video game, as we've never had anything like it, you know, in the 10-year, you know, the last iteration of college football, we didn't have anything like this. And so this is going to be a major feature to Dynasty. And I think a lot of people are really itching to see how it works. I don't see Road to Glory being much, unless there is something very different about it than what they've been doing with years past. I don't know if we would get one on that. Ultimate Team obviously is a moneymaker, so they're going to probably show some fancy stuff with that. But I think Dynasty is the big one, just because of how the transfer portal is going to work.
Now, we wondered a long time ago in our predictions episode, would EA Sports offer any kind of physical items for pre-ordering or ordering the game? We found out last week, yes, GameStop offering an exclusive EA Sports College Football 25 Homecoming Pack. Kind of confusing the way this came out. It first got revealed or started to spread on social media that for $150, you get the game, a football, a jersey, and a locker. Then it quickly, throughout the course of the day, changed to you can get any version of the game, standard or digital, which also led to more confusion because the deluxe and MVP editions are purely digital. So we went through at thegamingtailgate.com, and it was confusing, and maybe I was just being dense, but I wasn't the only one who wasn't grasping this at first, the way they wrote this out. We put links to every listing on GameStop for the different versions. And also, what's a little confusing, apparently they cannot get digital codes directly for PlayStation like they can for Xbox. So if you wanted to get the digital standard Homecoming Pack, you can do that. However, on the PlayStation side, what they're giving you is a PSN card with this for the same value of the game. So you will still have to go buy it yourself digitally. I will say there's one benefit to that. A lot of people already pre-ordered the game somewhere. Maybe they went to Walmart and got that exclusive steelbook. Maybe they already ordered it through Amazon. So they think, well, I really want to get these items, but I don't want to get two copies of the game. Well, if you're on PlayStation, you're not. You can go and get the digital version and get that PSN card. You don't have to use it on EA Sports College Football. No one's going to come to your house and make sure you spend it on EA Sports College Football. So you could use it for Ultimate Team Packs. You could use it on a different game. Maybe you sell it. So basically, you're just paying the $80 differential. That's basically what they're added on to the cost of the game. It's $80 for these three items. Not the greatest deal in the world, but right now everything's expensive. So it doesn't surprise me that this limited run edition or this limited set would be $80 in price. Guys, what do you think about this? And I will say, I got to put my money where my mouth is. I said, if they put out any kind of physical item, I'm getting it. So I will be buying this from GameStop.
I mean, it's neat on the surface, especially being the first time back for 11 years. So, I mean, it's something to kind of commemorate that. I'm never one that I'm not a big collectibles guy, so I really don't go for the physical items. The football would be kind of neat. The jersey, I'm guessing it's just a black jersey with the EA logo and 25 on it. You know, for that, I could pass on. And then the locker, I haven't seen the measurements on how big that is, but in reality, I probably wouldn't have an actual need for that for myself.
Does it look like a paper wrapper around it? Like you couldn't open it? You'd have to rip that off in order to open the locker?
I think so. I think that's exactly what that is.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is as well. Yeah.
I looked at this and I'm like, do I really want to spend another 100 whatever on this? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm gonna get the steelbook version. You know, I like collecting steelbooks for video games, so I'm gonna get that from Walmart. But I think I might just pass on this. I just don't have enough room for all this crap.
We don't know. Maybe after the game comes out, maybe this drops in price a little bit. Maybe true. GameStop sits on this for a while. But like I said,
might be tempted down the line with a price drop, as much of these type of editions do, you know, have one of those eventually, as people feel like the initial price point may be too high for some of those things. And it is for a lot of those collector's editions.
Right.
Which
this is better than some games though.
Yeah. I mean,
there's some games that are actually way worse for price and the quality of the limited items. So I will say it's not the worst I've ever seen by far.
Yeah. And assuming that is a full size football and not like a mini football or anything like that. If it's a full size, then that's a lot better. And honestly, I may look either when the price drops from GameStop or just look on eBay to see if somebody's selling just the football only or something like that. That might be kind of neat. And then, hey, maybe down the road you get all of the cover athletes to sign it at some event in the future or something like that.
It does scream autograph version with that white panel on it.
Yeah,
most people are not going to get in a position to ever do that, unfortunately.
Sure.
And I will say, like we mentioned, Walmart, it has an exclusive steelbook version of the game. And if you order through Amazon and go through the gamingtailgate.com, we do have affiliate links that will come back and give us a nice kickback to help pay for server costs and whatnot, which we would appreciate as well. Let's get into some stuff over the past couple of weeks. There was a lot of information that came out all at once, and then some kind of trickled in through Twitter. So maybe not everyone out there who's listening to us or watching us is quite aware of Scott O'Gallagher. His bio says he's the creative director, the blog says design director, and maybe that's one and the same. Either way, pretty high ranking guy. He's put out some good stuff on his Twitter account over the last week. One of these being in response to the community, which I really appreciate. He talks about the changes up front are immediately noticeable and haven't been discussed enough. This is the part that really stands out to me. You don't have much time to wait and make those third window throws, except in particular situations when the defense brings three or you have a big advantage up front. That is something that I'm really interested to see how that works. Especially if there's not much time to throw, yes, that's realistic. But then some people like to have all the time in the world to throw.
This sounds great on the surface. My only concern is EA kind of does this every year on launch for like Madden and other games. And then within a month, everybody's complaining. So they tune it back down. So hopefully maybe with college football, they kind of stick to it. But we'll have to wait and see, number one, how it's released. But then number two, how EA supports it down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus, you know, you're talking about the big difference between the big guy and the little guy is supposed to be real noticeable this year. So it will be interesting when you put up an Ohio State against like an Ohio and then compare it to Ohio State and Michigan, just how much time you truly have right out of the box.
I believe somewhere, and that's the problem, there's so much information out there. I forget where I read it, and I hope I'm not having a Mandela effect where I think I read this, but I thought there was somewhere where somebody had mentioned that the goal this year is like for dominant defensive linemen to really play a factor and really wreak havoc, like maybe a Sue or Aaron Donald type. So that maybe that plays a role in this. Well, if you have that elite defensive tackle, Maybe they can just blow stuff up and you have to really game plan and go away from them, which would be great. But obviously, right now, we don't know how this plays out. Another tweet that Scott put out, somebody asked him, how will you guys balance abilities that become the meta, and do y'all plan to update the game a lot? He says, I don't know what the meta will be. I'm excited to see a triple option player against someone using the air raid. We're very pleased with how the abilities are playing right now. Remember, these are situational boost, zero guarantees. It's something we've mentioned in the past, and I think I want to keep repeating it, not only for the community, but mainly myself, that when these boosts get detailed and come out, they're going to sound overpowered. We're going to think the worst at times, but we keep hearing this, they're not a guarantee. That I'm really interested to see how they play out, what the odds are with these. Are they a 5% hit chance? Or are they a 95% hit chance? What is that number? I'm sure it's somewhere in between, but what is it? That's I think the big part in how EA conveys that on the screen. How is a player getting a boost? Did they have this boost opportunity and it failed? I'm really interested to see how that plays out.
I mean, you kind of summed it up. I mean, all I can do is echo what you said is, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But
well, the thing, like, you know, one of the games that the meta changes a lot on is Marvel Snap, and they balance things so many times. It's like, is this something EA is going to do to where the meta changes constantly throughout a season, where it's something that Marvel Snap, that is it is this meta today is not going to be the meta next week or 2 weeks from now. So it's going to be interesting if they kind of take some of those models that other games have been doing and kind of switch the meta more often than not in this with these things.
Another community member says, do you mind explaining the kicking meter? And I thought that was interesting to have this spelled out. I mean, we've seen it in action in the gameplay video, and we read about it in the blog. Scott says, accuracy, composure, and kick distance affect how fast the ball moves side to side. Home field advantage and a player's composure impact how much the arrow shakes. That's something that we've seen it, but I don't think until we get it in our hands, we won't know how this works. I think to fully appreciate it and critique it.
Are you going to be happy when you're missing a kick when you should be? Like, if your kicker ain't that great? I mean,
realistic, but then a lot of people want that to be money.
I was going
to
say, it depends. Did I kick it perfectly and he has a 99 rating? Then no, I don't think I should miss it. But if he has a lower rating or I shank it or something like that, then yeah. I mean, I want to shank it sometimes. Just from a realism standpoint. Again, I've said it before, in 14, you could give me a guy with 60 accuracy and I'd still hit every field goal in the game. So, I mean, this to me, all of this sounds good. Especially the how fast the ball moves side to side, to me, that's one of the big things is, you know, make it kind of a variable speed. Otherwise, in 14, you can just time it the same way every time. So this, again, it sounds like it's going to be more of a challenge. And sure, probably in 6 months, it's going to be a lot easier to do. But I'm curious how it works on the day one.
On its own, Scott kind of put this out on Twitter. When it comes to the revamp passing, red means the ball is off-frame, catchable, but harder to bring in. Our changes to the accuracy system prevents wild over-under throws, except in extreme cases like throwing all the way across the field while rolling right, et cetera. Did, you know, do some responses to the community. He said this example is more in terms of a clean pocket, non-pressured throws. In those cases I mentioned, obviously throwing across your body, rolling out, et cetera, bigger red zones can appear. So it sounds like if you're set up in the pocket properly and not pressured, you're not going to have a wild throw. I think, again, until I get this in my hands, I think I'm a lot like the community. We're not really appreciate and understand how this works or the intricacies of it.
He did say, and I don't know if that's one of the other replies later on, is if you put in like a receiver quarterback, then their red range is going to be very big.
The whole
so,
way.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it does, in that case, it would come down to ratings. So, again, even if you have a clean pocket, that doesn't mean the quarterback should be perfect every time. So we'll have to kind of see how it plays out. But that to me, again, is encouraging. It should. There's a lot of balls that hit the turf, so I want to see more of that happening.
I hope it doesn't go back to the way I always called like the PS3 version, nice point-to-point football. It seemed like there were no over or under throws, et cetera. It seemed like there was always going to be a play on the ball. I know, I don't think it was, I could not find it in response here, but I'm pretty sure he did his own response to this where he basically said like, it's going to be in the area, but not necessarily catchable, if that makes sense. So yes, it's off target, but it's not going to be wildly off target. So it'd be interesting how that works out.
And some of those things you can do on purpose too with the old Madden system, which I think is what we're thinking is being brought over, is the Madden meter system for passing. So, you know, the that allowed different situations on top of where you're kind of placing the pass yourself there. So there was a lot of variety when Madden added it. I'm going to be really curious to see how it's tweaked on the college football side of things.
A couple people ask, Scott, can you switch the kicking meter in College World 25? No. So the old system is not in there. It's this new
You're
way.
Stuck.
He was also asked, can you turn off the wear and tear system? Yes, the wear and tear system you can turn off. I don't know right now that, I mean, it's good to know that the more options, the better. But obviously right now we don't know if it's something we want to turn on or off. The idea is, I think a lot of people really like the idea, but until we see the execution, that's when maybe we'll, I don't know if there's any settings or sliders. I don't know that that was ever mentioned or confirmed yet.
Yeah, I would guess it's toggle on and off. I mean, there isn't, tell me if I'm wrong, but isn't there an injury slider in Madden? I may be wrong about that. So, I mean, maybe they do a wear and tear toggle or maybe a wear and tear slider. I'd be curious to see. But yeah, at the end of the day, at least the option to turn it off is there so that if it's overdone, then you can, you know, go on about your business without it.
Yeah, especially like in an online dynasty, if people are in agreement that it's just not working, then you can just shut it off until it seems like it's fixed again.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's go to Mole. Yeah, longtime member of the community, game changer back in the day, hired EA, been working his way up the ranks. He put out what he calls a quick switch stick review. This is something that I think a lot of people are excited for the feature, but at the same time, I think that makes sure we understand fully how this works. He talks about when you use your defender in a pass rush assignment, any player, you have to hold B or O and then the left stick to switch directionally off them, because otherwise you'll be interfering with your pass rush moves if you have to use the right stick. Because that's how this feature so far has been built, is you flick the right stick, you change the player. Yes, that's correct if you're choosing someone in coverage, but if you're choosing someone at starting with someone at the line and then trying to switch, you have to do it a little differently. He mentions the right stick is for when you're on a defender in coverage and want to switch to other coverage defenders. Yes, man and zone. All of this is during the portion of the play in which the quarterback has the ball behind the line of scrimmage on a pass or RPO. He says, what about the hit stick? Once the quarterback has thrown the ball or crosses the line of scrimmage, the right stick turns back into the hit stick. That's one of those, I think there's another one going to have to keep some of this in mind when we use it for the first time.
Yeah, it's going to take some getting used to, because that's a total change on how we're used to playing the game today. So definitely, you know, I love the idea. It's just a matter of, in my old age, am I able to kind of keep up with all of that, you know, while I'm playing the game? So we'll kind of have to wait and see. The other question I had is, if there's two defenders that are kind of right in the same area, it's not always going to give you the right one that you want it to be. So that may be, you know, what if there's one that's short and one that's deep and they're both kind of in the same direction from where the stick is? How is it going to know which one to pick? So
I wonder if you can to see. Double stick it, maybe, if you don't get the right one first, they could flick it again and maybe it goes to the right guy.
Yeah, but only if there's enough time to get there. Because again, it's only while the quarterback has the ball. So
yeah.
Mole also talks about the custom stems feature in EA Sports College Football. What he loves about it is you can extend or shorten routes to create unique spacing against better user defenders. He mentions, for example, being able to extend that dig out another 5 yards or shorten the cut point on the post will really help your offense in different down and distances. Taking that 7 to 8 yard curl and extended it to 12 to 15 has always been something I wanted to do. Pair that with the additional hot routes and you have more tools in your scheme than ever before. One of his favorite additions. This is something I'm interested in seeing specifically how it works. Like, how much customization and range do you have, especially with that route depth? And what can you really do something really wild with it?
To me, this is another big addition that if it plays out well, like they described, then I think it can be great. Like he says, to me, the post, to be able to shorten the cut, you know, today, let's say the cut is 7 yards, but you're wanting it to be a lot shallower. You don't want it to be quite a slant, but you want it to be kind of a shallow cut. Then that gives you that guide to kind of find the opening right between the linebacker and their safety, for example. So again, yeah, more control, nothing but a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting on like a third and long and that long option isn't there and having like a specific yardage to get it, you know, have a nice manageable third down as your second option is kind of a nice thing to kind of concede to if your first down receiver is covered heavily. So it kind of gives you a lot of options to have that second look be kind of still set you up for success if you're not going to get that first down.
Users may not want a no huddle this year. We got that no huddle system and the tempo system, but with everything we need to check pre-snap with the coach well, vision, still, and then this. I mean,
that's
you can
that's us.
Really
that's
going.
Us old guys, though. The,
oh, that's yeah. true.
The young guys will well, no, have, you, easily pick that
the
up.
The Fortnite builders will have this all figured
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. The, they got a 5-story building before yeah, you hike yeah. the ball.
No, to me, the no huddle will still work. It's just to keep the defense in the same you know true. Personnel or whatever. So you know that's still going to work. But again, they have the slow no huddle in real mm-hmm. college football. So, yep. You know, again, that's the whole idea is to keep the defense on the field and keep them off balance, but still allow you to take the you know full 30 seconds if you want to.
And I'll probably need that the first few weeks of playing this game Boy. To get everything figured out pre-snap, which is it's a good problem to have. But I mean, I do think there's a lot going on here, at least initially, at least from what we've read and seen.
Going to be a lot of wasted timeouts early in July.
A lot of delay games. Yeah. Well, that happens in real life. Usually early in the year, that you know, teams are a little slow. So that makes sense. I mean, that's more realism, guys.
True.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go back to the gameplay trailer. This is something I've watched a couple times. And lately, I've even watched it in slow motion to see if there's anything I could pick out. Some of the stuff the community's already pointed out. There's a few things I think I might have stumbled across to build on that. We'll go through that here now. Those listening will try to explain this in as good a detail as possible. We'll have Jeremy reenact it for those who want to see it better. So the first one, the icon underneath the players. For those listening, it's basically it's a circle. The top half has, I believe, about 4 green bars, and the bottom is a full circle. Have we had this explained to us what this is? I want to think the bottom is probably a stamina. But I'm not sure what the green bars on the top indicate. Have you guys seen or heard anything on that front?
I've not seen or heard anything. I wonder if maybe that's a wear and tear indicator. Like if there's a lot more red, mm-hmm. then he's got more injuries or something like that. But no, I've not seen anyone specifically explain it.
Yeah, I mean, if it was on the other side of the ball, it could have been the Madden, like the special moves or that the linemen have, that's, but
right.
This is the offensive side of the ball. So I thought maybe the bottom was wear and tear but the top, that's hard telling. It could be either or really. I mean, you could that's have stamina point. On top and wear and tear on the bottom or vice versa, really either one well, kind of seems.
I'm assuming this is 20 seconds into the game. Like there's a 6-minute quarters or something like that. Mm-hmm. You can tell it's very early in the game.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So yeah, I would think that's, I don't know if you probably don't have it live, but if you rewind this, it probably has the stamina full at green. And then as he takes off running, it starts dropping a little bit. That's a guess, of course, but, mm-hmm. but yeah, to me, the wear and tear is kind of what makes more sense.
Yeah. He made it at a 7-yard run at first and he gave it to him again on second down.
Here's another one with, see some of the green gone. Let's kind of turn off the score bug at the same time here. As we get to learn a little bit more about it through this video, but you really have to slow it down to see it. I did see some community members went through, and that's how I kind of learned about some of this. For example, like right after on that play, Barrett Carter gets the sack. This is kind of our first look at how the stats are going to be presented. In the past, it was the pop-up on the top, maybe above it. Now we're getting kind of on the team side. You get to see, obviously, it must show season stats at some point because they do put that qualifier of today. Barrett Carter today, 1 sack. That was either very early in the game. A lot of these clips I've noticed, they basically just start the game and get the clips, and then they go on to the next one. There's not a whole lot of third or fourth quarter action in any of these clips. Looking at this, I noticed on the play call screen. Now, granted, we don't see how the previous play completely played out. We get a good idea here. Looks like it's a read option, for example, and it looks like they must have got a 2-yard loss. I'm going to guess he didn't advance very far on the left hash mark. A small thing I always liked, and I think there's other community members in the same boat, I always liked in previous versions of the game when the hash marks would update on the play call screen. So you could remember, okay, I'm on the left side or the right side. It looks like, now granted, we don't see the end of the play, but to me it looks like every play in the play call screen is going to be centered on the hash marks. So you really, if you don't remember where you're lined up at the end of the play, you're not going to get that help with the play call screen.
Yeah, I agree. That was always kind of a small thing, but a big thing at the same time. I mean, it's especially if you're playing Road to Glory and you just took over, you have no idea where you're at on the field. Mm-hmm. So to me, that it should show you on the play call screen, show you somewhere, you know.
Right.
But yeah, this is I wish they would bring that back.
I agree. Okay. Here's a look at kind of the pre-play controls pop up there. That'll be what you see above the top of the score bug. More of that there. Injuries, they pop up in the middle of the score bug. Kind of surprised that they don't show the position, especially if you're playing with maybe a team you're not too familiar with. I mean, obviously here it's pretty obvious when the quarterback gets leveled. Obviously the star player, you probably know who it is, but there are going to be other times where I think users are very much not going to know who the player is. But I understand there's not a lot of space that we're probably lucky we get that. But in my opinion, it would be nice if it had a position listed as well.
Yeah, to me, that you should pop up above the score bug. You know, doesn't have to be giant, but just do, you know, yellow text or whatever and say injury timeout, quarterback Jackson Arnold for Oklahoma or whatever. Mm-hmm. To Maybe me, you don't have to fit everything into a small space. You can right. take up a little bit of real estate, especially in a case like this. It's, you know, it's not during the play. So all the real estate you need, you can use.
And I wonder if they... Maybe some of the logic is that eventually you're going to get the pop-up on who do you want to sub in. That's when you'll get a little more clarification on position. But at the same time, I think you'd want that immediacy to have knowing.
And then as well, if you're playing an online dynasty game, your opponent, you know, you want to know, you don't know their full roster top to bottom. So if their left tackle is out, maybe you send more pressure.
Right.
But if you don't know what position he's playing, then that's a little bit more difficult.
Here we get to see the impact players, which I think we all assume that feature would be back, but when you pause and look, you can see running back, tight end out there, the impact players. And again, I look at that icon of the quarterback, which we don't fully understand at this time. Again, you can see this in action a little bit. So Edwards already starts off with one of the green bars missing. Maybe that's a special move. I don't know. Again, we're guessing, but it is worth noting, like, this is still relatively early in the game. Maybe it's dinged from a previous play. Who knows? Here again, this was very, very brief in the video. We had to pause it. That's why you have the graphic transition caught on the way there. I didn't intend for it to look this ugly, but that's the way it came across. The injury timeout popping up. And obviously, the Donovan Edwards showing the stats again, like we saw with Barrett Carter a little bit ago. Here, 4 rushes, 5 yards. I don't know if I like or dislike this style.
I think they need to move that to the left. I think they need to move that top bar to the left instead of putting it centered.
And it's very small. I mean, if you're not playing on a big TV, can you make that out? I'm wrong, but it's just an initial thought of seeing this.
I agree. Especially the name, that's going to be hard to read. The 4 rush for 5 yards, I mean, that you can pretty well make out most times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you've got a dynamic player that's, you know, running and catching, then that's going to fill up very fast. And, you know, it's going to get very cluttered if they try to show all of it.
Here, it's something we kind of mentioned in a previous podcast. Viewers get several icons next to his name. Hopefully you can see those pre-snap, because that's a lot to really watch during the course of a play.
It's a little later in the game, too.
Yeah, I believe he's on fire, and I believe that's maybe a wear and tear thing. I think that was our guess from a previous show, but again, that's a guess.
Yeah, you can see that he's got fewer icons or whatever in his bar, circle bar. Yeah, so again, like you said, maybe that's a wear and tear thing, or, you know, who knows what that is.
Is that bottom one possibly if you do like a speed boost and then you run out of it?
That's kind of what I'm sure that's, as well.
I'm sure that's a big part of it, is it's the stamina. So if you've got a guy that's running around a lot, then yeah, his stamina is going to drop lower and lower. And hopefully that's a sign of that you're going to have to sub in running backs more often or whatever. But yeah, I'm sure that like you said, if it's in the middle of a play, if you hold down speed boost, then it's going to drop even faster.
Here's something I noticed during the video. I know they're trying to give us like the ability. He's talking about ball hawk. Now some of the graphics in the video were added in editing, for example, like they bring up the dashed line and dotted and yellow to highlight him. But I noticed through several times out this video, it shows the ability underneath them. Is that them indicating that ability was triggered and successful?
I would guess that was
my guess.
That would be my guess, yeah.
So you know that the computer player or user player, whoever, that wasn't just solely ratings, that was one of their abilities kicking in. And see it later on, they show it away. And my initial thought was, well, did they edit that in, or is that something that goes away after the successful play? I think I'm leaning towards it shows you that boost was successful. Here's another one with the clutch kicker. You get to see that underneath the kicker there. I don't think that was something they added in for looks. I think that's actually during the game. Here's an interesting one. The running back for Cal starts off with the impact player, transitions to the downhill ability. I think believe to show you that it was successful. He broke the tackle at max speed, and I believe it shows him when it goes away, it disappears. The field general one, again, the icon underneath Quinn Ewers. Like I said, I believe that's part of the game. I'm interested in knowing if these graphics are final, which I don't have a problem with them. I think they are, but I'm not.
I'm guessing those aren't actually in the game. That's just EA indicating kind of what you can read that from, but not actually see it on screen. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see you may see the red exclamation points above their heads, but none of the yellow teleprompter, or not teleprompter, but none of the arrows or anything like that.
Yeah.
I see there's another, I don't think I got a picture of in the clip, but it was a quarterback audibling to wide receivers, and they both had white versions of these pop up, this over the quarterback's head and the white version of this over the receiver's head. So I'm thinking these might be in the game, but I agree with you. I don't think these will be in, but honestly, we don't know.
Unless
I've
it's
never,
like
nobody's clarified that I know of.
unless it's like our L2 to see the play call screen, and you can see that in your pre-snap screen there, if you're holding on a certain button, whatever it is to look at the play art, maybe that does show in with it possibly or something like that.
And I believe it's one of the blogs. I could be wrong. It talks about how sometimes you might get an indication of a player doing something, but they may not actually do it. So I wonder, is there a situation where your field general is telling you these guys are coming? Could it also be if you have a freshman linebacker, for example, that he doesn't, whether he gets it wrong, but is that him not doing it, or is that your quarterback not reading it right? That'd be interesting to see how they convey that and how it actually plays out. A quick look at the wide receiver hot route screen. Or pre-play menu. This is something we saw in the screenshots EA put out. When you do the coach vision with left stick and right stick, the things you can view. So there's a lot going on pre-snap you can take a look at. This is a look at the composure. This is something that's interesting. I think this might be photoshopped in because it transitions to they zoom in on Donovan Edwards, and I know that at that point in the video they're stressing the abilities. I think it's photoshopped in because of the way this cuts around the right stick graphic. I could be wrong on that. Several user community members had mentioned this was the example they gave. They thought initially it was a glitch or a bug. Like, why do they say Ollie Gordon plays at Texas? That's actually his home state. So I'm interested in knowing where and when this appears and why the home state is it so important, or is this just their way of matching like a TV broadcast where you learn a little bit more about the player?
Yeah, I think it's more, like you said, learning about the player. I would be surprised that they don't have like city as well. To me, like you said, Texas kind of makes you think that, in just isolated in the screenshot, you're like, no, he doesn't play for Texas. But at the same time, no, I took it as the same as that it's just telling you more background about the player, but I'd want to see like the city or something like that just to kind of, highlight instead of showing 50 states, show me the, 1,000 different cities and towns that are in the game.
Because when they zoom in and they show Cade Klubnik, or they show Edwards, Cade Klubnik, and then Ollie Gordon. And I said, if you look down here at the lower right, it doesn't quite fit. So I think this was basically photoshopped in to kind of show what you might see. In this screen, we get a look at the audibles screen. And it's worth mentioning again, Chris Vignini, I think, was the first person to say this, is that custom audibles will be added to the game at some point. I don't know when if that's a day one patch or later on down the line, but that's something to look forward to. He has mentioned that, I believe, a couple times. And he even used the P word. I think he said promise in his article, which I'm sure EA hated when he uses the P word in there, but that's he did use that word when talking about it. Here's a pre-snap screen. I thought it was interesting to see all the icons. It looks like Washington's offense really struggling. Everybody's ice cold. Yeah, you get a look at corner apparently is very hot. You have missing icons. You have another player. I don't know the difference between the triangle and the plain white flame. Don't know. Then you have the M there for middle linebacker. So I think there's a lot going on here pre-snap. But as we mentioned on a previous show, I'm interested to see what does it take to get out of a cold snap? How easy is it to get a player out of that? Hopefully easier than it was in NBA 2K historically.
Might want to audible to a QB draw here.
Anything. Get all those guys out of there. Okay, now this is the one that I saw some people mention, and I dug a little deeper here. If you notice, what's worth noticing, the first off, what will probably catch a lot of eyes is this Michigan logo on the scorebug earlier. And let's see if I can do a quick. There we go. This is the one I saw earlier, the yellow logo, traditional yellow Michigan logo. Here on this screen, it's a blue Michigan logo. So the initial thought from the community was, okay, you can get different logos on your scorebug, maybe a secondary logo. Looking a little deeper at it and paying a little more attention, and I'm sure somebody else has mentioned this. I'm not going to take any credit for this, but I noticed tonight looking through it. Look at the sides here with the MSU and the Mish and the text here. It's not italicized. White trim around this here. So a little different. Then you go back to this one. You start to get some of the text is italicized. And it's more like a yellow trim or not quite as much. My initial theory, there's two of them. Either one's a work in progress. It was not the final version. That's probably the simplest explanation. The other one could be is one your national TV broadcast score bug, and the other is your team two score bug. For example, I feel confident saying a number two ranked Ohio State, number nine Michigan is going to get the Herb Street and Fowler treatment. So is this your you know, team one score book with the, this is, I believe, Michigan's default logo. And you get the, you know, italicized Buckeyes, italicized on the sides. And then maybe, no offense here, yes, a top 10 Michigan, but an unranked Michigan State. Could this be where you have the second broadcast team and this is the score bug you get? I would think they, if that was the way they were going to go, it would be more pronounced, the differences, because I don't think the average person is going to notice this for the most part. So that's why,
for sure, that
part of me says, yeah, that was my, maybe it's a work in progress.
That's my very first thought, is if that were the differences, it's so nuanced that 90% of people are never even going to notice it. And even when you point it out, they're going to say, oh, okay. Right. Cause again, it's not a big difference to me, but, no. I have to say it's probably a work in progress. If I had to guess, the other one with Ohio State is probably the final version. To me, that looks a little bit more polished from my perspective.
And most of the screens are that style. Most of the
later build.
Yeah, yeah. That would be my guess. But again, you know, who's to know? Hopefully EA puts out a presentation video or blog, maybe as soon as this week, and we'll get to see. But at the same time, fighting with Madden, maybe not. We'll see.
I don't think it makes sense to have two different score bugs for two different presentation teams. I don't think they would do that, at least in year one. And it just doesn't make sense because it's barely any difference anyways. So, yeah, I think Tommy's right. I think this one here is a later build than the one that's two screens up.
And the other side of it is
the different Michigan logo is the weird part, really weird part.
Yeah, that's definitely a weird thing as well. So who knows where that comes from. But at the same, you know, talking about having two different score bugs, I know they're not actually ESPN, but these are all ESPN broadcasters, except for David Pollack. But, you know, ESPN doesn't have different score bugs for different games. Obviously, maybe in the national championship, maybe they debut something new there. Mm-hmm. But generally throughout the season, it's the same, whether it's on ESPN Plus or, you know, ESPN primetime.
Mm-hmm. Going a different route, I think it makes a lot of sense to have two different score bugs, but they got to be more different than this. This is something that I don't, a lot of people noticed the different M logo, but I did not see anyone mention the different, like the italicization, for example. Like I didn't see that get mentioned. So it's so minute that I don't think, like you guys said, the average person isn't going to notice that. So I don't know. It'd be interesting, but I did notice that, like, when you go frame by frame, you notice these things. It's very tough to notice that when you watch it live. It would be nice if they did allow you to pick your secondary logo, for example, on here to spice it up a little, because a lot of schools have great secondary logos that we never get to see in video games. The Team Select has some different logos on the bottom, which is really cool. It would be nice if you could bring those into the score bug, but that seems like a lot for year one. Here's a look at the kick meter and some of the graphics you get for that. Let's see, kick meter here, you get the wind, tells you the length of the field goal in case you don't want to add 17 to the yard line real quickly. You get to know without, you don't have to do quick math. There's already enough to worry about. We don't need any more.
I am curious, down at the bottom, it has, and this is the first time I've noticed this, adjust camera. So
that's your traditional up and down like Madden has right now, where you can use the D-pad up and down to go higher, lower on your camera. I feel confident saying that.
I've never used that in Madden. Mm. I don't guess I've ever even noticed it was there. So
yep, just hit up and down. I don't know why they have left to right though, because I don't think that was anything. I think it was just up and down. You could go lower or higher.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, so you're talking about just traditionally, you know, you can go right over the shoulder of the quarterback, or you can zoom in a lot higher or whatever.
Or you can have basically the almost an all 22 version.
Yeah,
because this is almost blocking your meter.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good point.
That's not going to disappear if you're just letting it sit. So yeah, that's kind of blocking your vision there.
This is something on the last show we mentioned. I think it's worth mentioning again, since we're talking about the score bug so much in the last few minutes. We get to see team record at the bottom here. So my initial assumption is this a dynasty game? I suppose realistically, it could also be a Road to the College Bowl playoff game, and maybe that's your record there. I don't think it's ultimate team, because I would think you would be able to name your team. Could be wrong on that front. I think it's worth noting if this is a dynasty screen or a dynasty clip that we're seeing here, maybe it's turned off, but there does not appear to be a dynasty ticker. Maybe that's an assumption, but at the same time, if this is dynasty, does that mean there's no in-game ticker this year? Which I love that feature, by the way, and I think the community does as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is nice. It adds to the realism. The only thing is it's obviously already been simulated before you ever start the game. So it's not like it's actually, quote unquote, going on while you're playing. But at the same time, it is kind of nice it, as long as it focuses on the games that you actually care about. If you're in a Sun Belt conference, yes, ESPN shows nothing but, you know, top tier games in the score bug, but at the same time, it'd be nice to see what your other conference team, conference foes are doing.
And we know we get studio updates from Kevin Connors. I mean, that's all but confirmed. So, I mean, there's going to be, it's going to hash out the scores and show it to you that way. But I always liked having that ticker pop up. I always thought they did it really well matching ESPN in the past.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind them like doing that and then popping in the conference standings real quick into the into that side too, if you know, just a little pop up there off of the bug maybe, when they do show the updated scores throughout your conference, just a little quick pop up there maybe. Maybe just a
And
vision
maybe,
even.
as I say, maybe that's part of the presentation that they show in between plays is that they do pop up the conference record or something like that, kind of like you do in a traditional broadcast that you do talk about their current season and everything.
A couple other things over the last few weeks, reading all the blogs and watching all the videos from the college football media who were at the event at EA a few weeks ago and the YouTube creators as well. There were two small things that stood out to me. And if you guys have any, feel free to share as well. The first one is somebody asked Andy Staples on one of his shows. He's had, I think, about three shows now talking about the game. Somebody asked him about, I'm trying to think how they worded it. If I understood correctly, they asked about the LED lighting. A lot of schools have different things to do where they can dim the lights in the stadium. The example that he did not give Andy an example, and I wish he would have, but the one that I think of first is Alabama when they scored a touchdown, the stadium lights dim. I don't know if it's seven times. I don't know the pattern exactly, but in a lot of schools do something similar. Andy said that is in the game. I'm not saying Alabama specifically, but somebody asked him about the lighting effects or LED, and he said that was in the game. Another example on, also on Andy Staples' show when he interviewed Christian McCloud. He didn't give any details, but Christian said there are a lot of Easter eggs in the game. I'm assuming that means tradition related, school related, maybe rivalry related. Obviously, we didn't get any details. I wish we'd gotten one, so then we could have had a basis to know what we're looking for. But it sounds like they want people to play the game to find them. We're not going to get them. I'm under the impression we will not get a master list or a lot tipped off on a lot of these. It's going to be people find it and then go share it on a forum or on Twitter or on YouTube. One example I would suggest looking for. We know one of the higher ups is a Michigan grad, something that the Michigan players have started to do when they play Nebraska. If they score touchdowns, they pretend they're eating an ear of corn. So you got to think if somebody high up on the team is from Michigan and a big Michigan fan, let's look for Michigan stuff. So that's one I would suggest play Michigan, Nebraska, score with Michigan, see if that happens.
I wonder
Is
if
there
they started with like with the Iowa waving at the
anything?
children. I wonder if that's one of them, but they showed that, and it's maybe something some things like that to look for as you're playing with all these different teams. But you know, obviously they showed that early on in the first trailer. So I wonder if those are the type of things we're looking for.
I believe Matt Brown
Yeah,
one time he
to
said there
me.
was 12 or 13 stadium things like that with the Iowa and I believe the whiteout at Penn State. But then when Matt was on the shutdown full cast, that was, it was a very jokey show because he's with a lot of friends. But at one point he mentioned that the number he put out was like 136 in terms of specific things. Now whether it was very tough to tell what was jokey and serious on that show. So I don't know what I don't know where to even start with some of that.
Going back to what you were talking about earlier with the lighting, I have seen kind of the same thing in Madden, just playing it recently. Like if you play at Seattle, you'll see like the boom of the fireworks that are going off over the top of the stadium, you know, stuff like that. That it's actually, you know, dynamic light sources that are happening throughout the game. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see how they translate that for, you know, how college football teams do it.
And we're gonna end the show with a community detail. Wisconsin fan had noticed, and I saw this on Twitter, that the Wisconsin logo on the left side is backwards. Because the Wisconsin logo is italicized or slanted basically, and it's supposed to be like it's going forward, basically. So for the right side, it's correct because it slants forward. And the left side, he noticed it was not. I gotta think that's probably just a toggle setting in there because there's a lot of teams that have logos that always face forward. I believe like Coastal Carolina, I believe the Chanticleer faces forward, for example, in some of the schools like that. So I gotta think that was just a toggle that was not turned on. But But at this on this show, we're always going to err on the side of if the community mentions it, we're going to mention it on a detail-related issue.
You know, certain letters, you can't mirror them. You know, mm-hmm. if you mirror to C, then it's going to be, you know, appear backwards or whatever. You know,
right.
So yeah, I'd be curious to see if that's fixed. That's the first I've heard of it. But yeah, it's definitely something that they've got to get right. You know,
mm-hmm.
Fans are fans of their game. Like they said, everybody's a fan of every school. So you gotta fix the small things. And whether that's before release or after release, somehow you got to come back and address that.
I was able to pull that up while you were talking there, Tommy. I did find the actual Chris Berry was the one who noticed this Wisconsin fan. Here's the example. Like, it should be mirrored. Not a big deal, but like I said, I'm assuming it's just a toggle. But it's one, like I said, we're always going to err on the community side on this. It's worth mentioning. And hopefully the presentation blog will go in through a lot of these that we've mentioned, for example, and show fixed. Because I think that would ease a lot of community concerns.
Yeah, W's just doing the electric slide.
Yeah. But that is interesting. That was a good catch by Wisconsin fan. I don't know if
I would have not even noticed that looking at the two photos, unless somebody would have brought that up.
Yeah, I thought Wisconsin looked weird, but I don't know why I thought they looked weird. I don't think I noticed it. But I
guess
think
so. You
can
see
off
the point of on the left side. The point. I guess that's one of the key things is looking where the point's at. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a very good catch by Chris Berry, and we wanted to bring that up. So with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. Hopefully this week they get back in the saddle, giving us some news on the game. If they do, we will be back covering that, talking about that, and sharing community thoughts on it, whether it's Dynasty presentation or anything else. We will be here. For Tommy and for Jeremy, I am CDJ. Everyone, thank you for catching this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.